Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 19, please, this morning. Acts chapter 19, we're going to read verses 13 through 17 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. Acts chapter 19, verses 13 through 17. As you're finding your place, if you would, in honor of the Word of God, we stand. And let's stand. If you're able, if you're not, please remain seated, of course. But if you're able, stand in honor of the Word of God as we read it together. Acts chapter 19, beginning at verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, Exodus, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this section of scripture. Now, God, use it to help us today through the preaching of our pastor. Use him. Speak to our hearts and our lives, and help us to be better for being here today. Now, God, do a work in our hearts and our lives. Anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit for this task. And I pray if there's somebody in this room or listening on the internet, that if they do not know about Jesus, if they've never trusted him, that they would do so this morning before they leave, in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, listen very carefully, please, and keep your Bibles open to this passage of Scripture. I'm part of the Apostle Paul's missionary journey. Came across an unusual event, and the event was this. He encountered a group of professional exorcists, seven sons of a man who was a Jewish leader. And these seven sons were, their profession, if you want to call it that, was casting demons out of people. And they come to this man who was possessed of devils. And the Bible tells us that they stood in front of him and they had heard about another one who was exorcising devils out of people. His name was Paul. And they heard that when Paul did this, listen, every time Paul did this, the exorcism, Paul always used the name of Jesus. And so they thought, you know what? No doubt they had failed a few attempts. So they thought, here's what we're going to do. They stand before this man who was possessed with devils, and they said, we adjure you by Jesus whom this Paul preaches to come out of this man. They thought they could command the devils to come out of this man, the demons, by using the name of Jesus and the name of Paul. And then the Bible tells us something very unusual happened. In verse 15, please look, it says, "And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are ye?" Look at me, folks. This evil spirit asked a very important question this morning. Who are you? And then he jumped on them, seven, one man against seven. He jumped on them, beat them, ripped up their clothes, and they ran out of that place practically without their clothes on, overcome. And it didn't work for them. Why? Why didn't it work? They used Jesus' name. They used Paul's name. But it didn't work for them. Why? Very simple. Because it wasn't theirs. And you know what's interesting? The demon inside of this man knew that they weren't for real. The message this morning is going to be very simple. It's based on that simple question, who are ye? It's a simple question that you and I need to answer today. Ladies and gentlemen, these people, these men were imitators. They only wanted to use what worked for others, but it wasn't really theirs. Now look at me this morning. Look at me. When you come to something like this, and I don't mean someone who's demon-possessed, though I've come across a few, makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck. But when I mean when you come across or up to a great event in life like this, now listen to me, the real deal now, you better be for real yourself. We have too much imitation going on, people just kind of mimicking. We call it parrot Christianity. They just parrot things, but it's really not theirs. It's not, look at me, it's not who they really are. Book of 1 John says they went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would not have gone out from us to prove that they were neither all of us. They were never all of us. So I'm going to ask you a simple question this morning, give you a couple of things I want you to consider today, and I want you to look at your heart and life. I want you to consider something. Now, you see, with Pastor Johnson, I mean, so I'm not for real in some areas of my life. You do understand God does know, though. You know, sometimes I think we're practical atheists. We say we believe in God, but in truth, we act like He really doesn't exist. Like God doesn't know everything. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God does know the answer to the questions I'm going to ask you this morning if this is you. God knows. Number two, the devil knows. These evil spirits, they work for him. And when they said, we adjure you by, what's the guy's name again? Jesus. Preached by this man, what was that guy's name? Paul, we adjure you to come out of him. The evil spirit said, you don't know who you're talking about. Kind of scary when you think that the enemy knows you better than you do. But he is your adversary who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And friend, listen to me very carefully. When you come up against great events in life, the devil knows whether you're for real or not. God, so look here. God knows. The devil knows. Oh, by the way, unless you've completely convinced yourself, you do too. Now, look here. Down in the heart of hearts, we kind of know if things are for real or not. Yes? And one more. You know who else knows? Others are going to find out. Look what happened there after this one demon-possessed man jumped on seven men, beat them, and practically stripped them in public. Look at verse 17, and it says, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. That's the city and the region. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Eventually, other people are going to find out whether who you really are too. So look at me. Haven't we been just gagging on what's been going on in the headlines of our newspaper recently? Gagging. People who in private acted like pigs. And I want to be very careful in what I say here, but I want you to listen to me carefully. The society that created that mentality now speaks against it. There's no excuse. Look, there is no excuse for perverted and filthy behavior. I don't care who does it. I don't care where it comes from. There's no excuse for that. And look at me. And there's no allowance for that either. But it is majorly hypocritical for people who walk around without enough clothes on and make blinders for a hummingbird complain because some pig goes after them. The pig needs to be dealt with, and so does the mentality that creates the pig thing. Now, some of you are looking at me funny. You listen to the media too much. There's no excuse for wicked behavior. I don't care who it is, where it is, what it is, or why it is. There's no excuse, and I'm not making any excuses for that. But it's a little sickening to hear a world that's so filthy in the way they act, conduct themselves, get upset because somebody acts filthy and wicked. Figure it out. You know what they're calling it now? They're calling it the Pence rule. Our vice president made a statement several months ago that he would not be alone with a woman. He wouldn't even go to lunch with another woman that wasn't his wife by himself. And they laughed at him. They told him he was a prude, old-fashioned. Those same idiots are now calling it the Pence rule. They said, maybe these guys need to do what that guy did. Yeah, maybe people need to use the stupid head. Okay, let me get off the subject. Here we go. But look at me. We're choking on the headlines of people whose wicked behavior has now become public behavior. You say, oh, that's not my problem. Do you think so? Let's find out. Who are you? Who are you this morning? Look at me. Who are you this morning? Number one, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And is that you? Is that really you? Are you a born again child of God? Because believe me, God knows. And the devil knows. Oh, yes, he does. He can't read your mind and he can't read your heart. But the devil does happen to know what goes on in the life of a person. Believe me, he knows. And look at me today. Whenever someone asks me about the matter of my salvation, that matter was settled so long ago, and I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. It's a done deal with me. It is settled in my mind. Because, you see, God wants you to know, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's so important. God wants you to know. He doesn't want you to live in doubt. He doesn't want you to live in uncertainty. He doesn't want you to question it. He wants you to know it. But wait a minute. You got to make sure that you know it correctly, biblically. These things have I written. Is your salvation testimony based on what did you do with the Word of God? Did you get saved the way the Bible says you're supposed to? Did someone explain to you from God's Word that you're a sinner and Jesus paid the penalty for your sin and dipped his soul into death and rose again 3 days later? And that payment is the full, complete payment for salvation. And you understood that, and then, understanding it, you received Christ as your Savior. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth his confession is made unto salvation. You believe, then you receive. That's the biblical principle. And a saved person can point back to the moment when someone explained that to them and they realized that they trusted Christ. You say, well, you know, come on. I've been going to church so much. I've been religious all my life. Surely somewhere down the road. No. You can miss it just that easily. Judas missed it. He stood by Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He was the church treasurer, and he's in hell today. Yes, you can be religious and still go to hell. You can believe in Jesus and still go to hell. You can have religion and go to hell. You can be baptized. Judas was baptized by John the Baptist. He was one of Jesus' disciples, and he still went to hell. It's not what you do. It's not how you live. It's whether or not you have personally received Jesus Christ as your Savior. So the question is just not a flippant question to be asked, and it's not a flippant answer I'm looking for. Are you a child of God? And are you so certain you'd base your never-dying eternal soul upon that? Now listen, since it is so simple to settle it, it's very simple to miss it. Because what do? You combine works or religion or belief or practices with the fact. One more time, look at me. It is not because you live a Christian life that you are saved. And it doesn't confirm your salvation. I was talking with a man here this week about his salvation. I said, let me ask you a question, sir. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you saved? Are you certain? He goes, that's a tough question to answer. I said, no, sir, it's not. It's very simple. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You have it or you don't. It's that simple. And it's not a hard question to answer, and it's not a difficult answer to come up with. It's a yes or no principle. Who are you? Are you a saved person? Number two, who are you? Are you a settled person? Let me explain to you what I mean by settled. Bible-believing Christians believe that this is the full, complete revelation of God. And it is, in fact, and indeed God's Word, the Bible. And we take it all. Now listen to me. We take it all, front to back, bottom to top, Genesis to the Revelation. We take it all as God's Word and revelation to us today. Are you settled on that? Look at me. Have you settled that? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the first verse in the Bible. And did you know something? If that verse is not true, Genesis 1:2 is not true. Nor is anything else in the Bible true. I say it is a package unit. You either believe it all or you don't believe any of it. See, well, Pastor Johnson, wait a minute. I mean, everybody's got their questions about the Word of God. No, I have questions about my understanding of the Word of God. I don't have questions about the Word of God. Now, you got to get that settled. Listen to me. God knows if you believe that book or not. He knows. He knows whether or not you're sitting there rolling some things over in your head and thinking, well, yeah, but see, in society today, this is what people believe. I don't care what they believe. If the Bible says it's so, it's so. If the Bible says it's right, it's right. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. If the Bible says it is, it is. And if the Bible says it isn't, then it isn't, and that's it. And I'm not testing the wind to find out what's going on out there to change my mind about anything. If the Bible said it's the way, that's it. See, that's a settled thing with me. Is that how you are? Who are you? Are you a settled person today? Have you settled it that the Bible is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice? Because God knows. Hey, guess what? The devil knows too. That's why when these guys said, "No, we adjure you by Jesus," they didn't even know who Jesus was. They knew his name maybe. They didn't know anything about him. By Jesus, and this guy Paul, we heard him talking one time. Yeah, this guy Paul one time. "We adjure you by this Jesus," and this guy Paul, come out of him. And the devil says, "You don't even know who you're talking about. You don't even believe it yourself." And my friend, when the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour," 1 Peter 5:7, it says this in verse 8, "whom resist steadfast in the faith." When Jesus was tempted after his 40-day and night fast in the wilderness, Satan came and tempted him. And what did Jesus do? He resisted the devil by saying, "It is written, it is written, it is written." But more than just quote the Bible to him, Jesus, when he said it, the devil knew Jesus believed it. And he lived by it. Let me tell you something, friend. That book right there, that is a powerful weapon in your life in this spiritual battlefield on which we live. And Satan knows whether you know you got that equipment on you and you believe it or not, and he knows if you don't. "Take unto you," the Bible says, "the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil, and having done all to stand." Satan knows if you've got a chink in the armor. He knows if you got a piece missing because you got some doubts about what it says. Hey, who are you? Are you settled? You got that settled in your mind? That book is the final authority? Number next, are you sincere? So, well, Pastor Johnson, we all have to deal with issues of sincerity. Don't run behind the all stuff, okay? Well, we don't all do this. We don't all do that. Question is this, are you sincere? By that, I mean simply this. Are you a sincere type of person who you're not putting up a front? You know, you got your little face on for when you're around here. You got to practice stuff to believe and see and show and display. That's what you have to do. But then on the other side, are you really sincere? I would hope, ladies and gentlemen, that we have conduct and behavior in public that we're careful about how we do. And maybe at home we're a little bit different, but I hope it's not a different soul altogether under your roof. I hope you don't have a life that's, you know, this and that. I heard a guy say one time, "I know people aren't two-faced because if they had a choice, they wouldn't choose the one they had." I don't think that's what that means. I think what it means is, are you sincerely understanding we're sinners saved by the grace of God and we're just trying to do our best for God and honor Him? And it's a sincere effort behind this sort of thing. Just, don't you appreciate people who are just real? Huh? They don't have a hidden agenda. They got a little program going on. They're just real people. I kind of prefer them in my own mind and thinking. And I in my own life, I want to make sure that I'm a sincere Christian about what I am and what I do. You heard me say this before. My brother Rule in Chico, President Valley Baptist and Church in Chico, is one of my very dear friends. Because the first time we ever met, never knew each other before then, first conversation we ever had, while we're sitting there and talking, he made this statement. He said, "You know, Brother Johnson," he goes, "I don't know a lot of things, and I'm probably not the best person on this planet," he said, "but I just want to be a good Christian at what I do." And I looked at him and I said, "That's my friend." You know, I've traveled in different places in the world with him, preached in a lot of places with Brother Rule. And I'll tell you something, you know, he's like anybody else I know. He's not perfect by anything in what he says or does. And I hope he's watching. I just threw you under the bus, Rev. I'll tell you one thing. I believe the man's sincere. You know what? The truth of the matter is, dear people, sincere doesn't mean you're perfect. Sincere doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. Sincere doesn't mean that you're always what you're supposed to be. Sincere means you're always trying to be what you're supposed to be. You're working at it. And there's a sincerity about you and what you are. And God knows, my friend, God knows. God knows if there's this phony junk going on in your life. He knows. Why don't we understand that and just say, you know what, Lord? I bear my soul to you. I just want to be right and do the right thing with my life. That's all I want to do. I just want to be right before my God. And you know what? Satan will stand there and go, ah, wretch, I lost another one. Because sincerity goes a lot longer with God than this phony two-faced junk that goes on among some people. He knows. And so do you. People who are not sincere after a while, they get so caught up in the games that they play and the routine they're trying to pass off on people. I don't know how they keep up with it. It's like people who are liars, also known as congressmen. People who are liars. After a while, they can't keep up with all the lies. You know, I've never had to try to cover the truth. If you just tell the truth, you can just live and die by that. You don't have to come back later on with another story to try and make up that story to figure out that story. And some people get so bad in that thing, they actually wind up living lies. Their whole life is a lie. Terrible. Yeah. Yeah, there are times when I think, man, Johnson, why did you do that? Why did you say that? But sincerely, I try to do my best. I don't always do it, but I try. Oh, by the way, hey, and after a while, people know whether you're sincere or not. They're around you long enough to go, wait a minute, that doesn't line up, and that doesn't add up. Sometimes people, maybe some folks surround themselves with a bunch of dumb people, but by and large, most human beings are pretty decent character readers, and they kind of look at it and go, that doesn't form together. So I was flying back into the country from, I was overseas somewhere, and I was going through the customs line, and the guy looks at my passport. Instead of it giving the nice green beep, give a red beep. I thought, uh-oh. And he goes, go in that line over there. I thought, uh-oh. And I get in the line, and they take me over to this guy with a big screen in front of him, and he takes my passport. He looks at the screen. He goes, Mr. Johnson, have you ever been to Boston? I said, yes, sir. He goes, what were you doing in Boston? I said, I was preaching. He goes, huh. Well, I have a Michael Ray Johnson here who's wanted for bank robbery. I said, well, it ain't me. And then, I ain't preaching, I'm telling the truth. He turned his screen around, and it was a black man. And I said, now I know it ain't me. And don't you? He goes, yeah, I guess not. And I went, oh, my goodness. Get me out of this line, quick. This man, that's not me, okay? As I walked away, I thought to myself, if I was a bank robber, would I say, yeah, that's me? I mean, what kind of a dumb question is that? Are you a bank robber did you rob a bank in Boston? Oh, yeah, you got me. Some questions really don't deserve a good answer, except sarcastic, right? Yes, I've been robbing banks and I'm killing people and I got four dead bodies in my suitcase. What are you going to do about it? But don't do that because they don't think that's funny. The truth of the matter... I just said, no, not me. I've had, it seems like, not every time, but when regularly coming back from overseas somewhere, I get some kind of trouble for something. I don't know what it is. One man just, he ran this sensing box thing over me, and it kept beeping, and he told me to go get in that line over there. And I thought, oh, not again. And I go, and they asked me where, I was in Mexico preaching, and he said, what were you doing in Mexico? I was preaching. And he said, did you go to hospitals in Mexico? I said, yeah, I went with the pastor. We made some visits and stuff. He goes, well, that's probably what it is. I said, what it is? What? He said, well, they've just detected there's drugs on you or something, or you've been around drugs or something. He said, no, drank a lot of Coca-Cola, but that's as close as I got. I mean, that was it. And then the guy just looked at me and he goes, yeah, I believe you. I thought, thank you. I don't know what he was going to do if he didn't believe me. Blood test, I'm not sure. Sincerity goes a long way. Who are you? Are you sold out to the Lord? You say, well, Pastor Johnson, come on. Nobody, and don't behind the all thing again. Oh, nobody does. We're all, no one's all the way. No. I'm asking what everybody else is doing or not doing. I'm asking you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You just put it all at His feet. He's got all He paid for. You're sold out to God. Are you still doing that toe-dipping thing where you're just kind of checking out the temperature, looking things over, trying to figure things out, and you've been in church for 22 years? Question, when are you going to get in on this thing? Sold out means you literally, you're going to give Him what He paid for, you're going to live for the Lord as best as you know how. And in your mind, your decision now is, what does God want of me and from me and for me to do with my life? You're in, you're all the way in. See, God knows if that's us or not. He knows if we keep letting things get in the way, and there's always excuses and reasons and all this stuff, and there's always, and by the way, anytime you do that, the devil, who knows, then says, all I got to do is give them another excuse, and that'll hold them back a little bit longer. All I got to do is keep throwing excuses in front of them, and they'll never get in on this thing, because they always use some excuse for why they're not all the way in their life. But the devil knows that. You're going to keep, your life is going to be one set of excuses after the other one. Until you just let Him know, I'm in, just go bug somebody else. And you know this morning, look at me, you know this morning if you're all the way in or not, or if you're holding on to some things in your life that you're not willing to turn loose of, or you're not willing to give to God and do with your life. You know that. We've all sat in church before. Why? Sometimes people have asked me, why don't we sing some of the invitation hymns and stuff? And you mean like, I surrender all? That's a great one. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I tell you why I don't sing invitation hymns. Can't handle the lion. I surrender all but my friendships. I surrender all except my weekends. All to Jesus except on Wednesday I surrender. We could rewrite some of these, you know. Sure could. But you know, and by the way, others know after a while too. Now I'm a little bit more concerned about God and the devil. Whom resists steadfast in the faith? Steadfast. All the way in. It's the best place to be. It's the best place to see the working of God in your life. It's the best place for the God of heaven to look down and say, they're in. They're in. It's time to get in and go and do what I need to do. They're in. It's time for the devil to look at them and say, you know what? I don't care what I throw in front of them. They just don't seem to put it. That doesn't even seem to slow them down. They're going to go for it. Does that mean he'll forever leave you alone? It just means you'll have to come up with something else because you're in. It's an old expression, but it's a good one. If I'm in the right place, I can't be in the wrong place. If I'm where I'm supposed to be, I can't be where I'm not supposed to be. And ladies and gentlemen, these questions today, they're very simple questions. They require a very simple answer. Well, some of those are a little complex, Pastor Johnson. Nah, that's not complex. It's really simple. Are you saved? Are you? That's a yes or no question. Yes or no answer. That simple. Well, I'm not. Then if you're not sure, friend, please settle that today. Don't you leave this building till you know, and you can. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.